Hello, and welcome to Hot Goss with Trash, the podcast where we bring in real, true facts, and we trade those puppies around like they are dirty little pieces of gossip. We rate every fact on a scale of ice cold, like cold water, to ooh, that's boiling hot, like boiling water. The points don't matter at all, but something does matter, and that's the fact that we are all hot. Guests, hosts, anyone involved. I'm Chloe, and I got a free tattoo yesterday, and it was maybe the least sketchy tattoo I've ever gotten, against all odds.
I'm Rachel, and I'm really considering getting another tattoo. My grandma was obsessed with The Wizard of Oz, and she's like was not a person who was into tattoos or piercings, but she was like sick for a while, and she said that when she died, she wanted me to get a tattoo that said like "Ding Dong, like the witch is dead." Very funny. I don't think I can get those words tattooed on my body. However, I'm considering a Wizard of Oz tattoo, which I don't know is like, oh, cheesy, but for my grandma, we love.
For your grandma.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'm Lindsay, and usually the thing I get free is like a coffee or like an extra stamp on like a coffee card, because people are like, oh, you're really friendly. Here, have an extra stamp. So it means I get a free coffee quicker.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if inside every sort of chocolate ding dong there is the phrase "the witch is dead" like just embedded inside, and sadly it's not the case. My name is Shem, and I've always wanted to get a tattoo with like the Hebrew for "and this too shall pass" on my wrist, because I think it's funny to have a tattoo about the impermanence of all things, but it's also not that funny, so I'll never do it.
My name's Kaylee, and getting stuff for free. I just have moved recently, so we're furnishing a new apartment, and inspired by one of my brothers who, when I moved, was like, you never need to buy anything new in your life. We've been trying to get everything, scooping it up from the corners of the internet and stoop sales and piece it together piecemeal, and it's been really fun.
Honestly, I love that. I feel like New York is a great place for, because it's so hard to get rid of stuff.
Yes.
People just will like put it on the street and be like, someone please take this off of my hands.
It's been amazing.
Do you want a small square table? Because we have one.
There you go.
I think I've maxed out on tables at this point. Thank you.
The camera turns and it's just like a room full of tables.
I got really into buy nothing during the pandemic, because I was like, oh, like I'll put things up to give, and then people would like have fun stuff, and it was like a nice thing to do after work, to be like, I'm just gonna take a walk and pick up like this free book on acting or like whatever it was.
No, when we left our previous place in LA, it felt great to be like, oh, we're putting this stuff out, and then we're watching our neighbors come like take it and be excited about it, and that is such a good feeling.
Yes. Okay, well, our guest, we already know they are an interior designer first and foremost. They are also
full of trees.
They are also a character and sketch comedian. They're also a character.
Period.
They're also a character and sketch comedian, an improviser. They were named one of JFL's New Faces of Comedy, and she just moved to New York City. Oh my God. Please welcome Hayley Hepworth.
Yeah.
Hello.
The crowd is going wild.
There are more of you than I thought.
Yes. Thank you so much for being on the pod. Oh,
thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I am going to circle right back to decorating. My issue, I love that, and I try to do that
big time.
But I lose patience because I'm just like, nobody has what I need, and I'm sick of this blank space. So how are you managing?
Pretty well. I tried to sort of come up with a system of like a triage system. how do I order things in order of like, what am I hunting right now that is most immediate need? So the first things on that list were like, we need chairs.
Yes.
A surface to eat off of. We need a couch. And then moving forward from there in terms of like, all right, what are you know, what are more immediate needs and how can those be bumped up in the queue while also staying open to if something enters the conversation and we want to grab it in the meantime.
I love this. You sound this like really my brand of type A.
I'm like, yes, tell me about your system.
It's a specific type of type A to be like, I have a Google Doc for all the free street furniture that I'm hoarding.
My new best friend. I'm so happy.
Rachel, little known fact, has a spreadsheet tattooed on her back. Her back piece is a huge Excel spreadsheet.
That'd be so difficult to use.
What are you going to say, Sean?
Oh, I was just going to wonder if you had a need for about 520 Region 2 European DVDs.
I don't. That is not my particular illness, but it is my husband's illness. So he may feel that we do very much need.
I love
Speaking of needs, I need a fact from Shem.
What?
Yeah, we're going wild today.
Oh, wow.
Shem is number one.
Yeah. What a way to start. This isn't a fact, but it's a little story I like about the 2001 Bollywood movie, Lagan, which is like one of my favorite but it's a 4-hour long movie that's a sports underdog movie revolving around cricket, which I watched in 2001 with like all my friends, and we were like, this is the best sports movie we've ever seen. Partly because it reserves like a full 90 minutes of its run for a cricket match to happen.
Stop.
But it's also like the best underdog movie I've ever seen, because they normally it's like a ragtag group of people who are like, oh, I suck at baseball, but I'll learn. And these are like a ragtag group of villagers who are like, what's cricket? And then they have to like learn the game from like spying on the British to do it. But the film was like a big sensation. Amir Khan's really great in it. It's like huge. The soundtrack's iconic. Like, it's really, really great. And they had this huge like Oscar campaign to like try and get it like recognized. And it was like nominated for a foreign language Oscar in 2001. So all the cast flew out to America to like tour and say, please like watch this movie. I know it's like very long, but it's actually genuinely good. It's like a really good musical. And then while they were there, 9/11 happened, so like they were like stranded in the country, a turn no one was expecting.
I know. We should have known. You set the scene as 2001.
That's true.
It's like, Chloe, are you sure you want to start with me? But yeah, like, so they were like stranded in the country during 9/11, and then they were stranded in Houston, and then because Rachel knows this again, because they're from India. Because
my dad's from India.
Because they're from India, they were like unable to get like vegetarian food, and then they had like months of like the ages of the cast like surviving on like breadsticks, and like pizza was the only like vegetarian food in the local region. And then one of the guy who's like the drummer in the show was like responsible for food, and he then reached out to all the sort of people in the Indian community in the local region, and all the like mums and aunties and like people like pulled together and started making vegetarian food and saying that it's a cast to survive, to sustain them while they were trapped. And I thought that was fun and lovely. So that's my fact.
That's so sweet.
The amount of vegan food is in Houston in 2001 was so limited.
So bad.
They had to mobilize a community to feed some actors.
Oh, I went on a journey with this one. I think I've seen this being watched by my dad and being like, I'm gonna pass on this. Just because I don't have that attention span. Also, I don't understand cricket. But I love the idea of all of these families coming together. I think that is so sweet. I just watched do you know Chef's Table? That
yes.
Chef.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I wish I remembered the chef's name. Her whole restaurant, she only hired women who had never worked in restaurants before. They were home cooks for their families. She hired them to do like traditional home cooked Indian food. And why are you smiling? Do you know who?
No, I'm smiling at the idea of home cooked Indian
food. Oh, okay. I was like, did I do something wrong?
Simple as that.
That's
that, baby.
Delicious.
This is why I don't smile, Rachel.
Like, what the hell is going on?
It's so
in that
rare.
Brain.
It took me by surprise. But it's really sweet, and they like run the kitchen is entirely run by women, and all of these women had only had home cooking experience, and it's like a huge success. Anyways, I love that
this is also what sustained this cast.
Yeah.
It reminds me when I worked in India, and then all the local sort of parents of the people in the office or my team were like, this poor guy is like having to be in India, what will he eat? And they just all brought me food like every single day. I just get like a little Tupperware thing of food just fully cooked or heated up at lunchtime and just ready on my desk waiting for me. Didn't ask for it, didn't need it. I had like, I was rich because I was being paid like food so I could go for lunch all the time. So I was eating like other, also I'd come back from lunch and there'd be additional lunch.
I love it. I feel like food is such like a language of love, especially, I mean, it is for like a lot of different cultures, but I know that whenever we go to India, my family, one, like, assumes, because I'm white, that I can't, like, handle any of the food, so they'll make me and my mom special food, which I'm like, yeah, my mom does need the special food, but please give me the regular one. They were all, like, shocked the last time I went, and I was like, I can do this. Guys, I can do this. Which is why I have acid reflux, you know? We love. But I love that being like such a love language. Do you have any foods? Do you guys have any foods that like your families or friends like use as like a, I mean, yeah, most people do. But like, what are your comfort love languagey foods? That's my question.
This one is maybe top of mind for me right now because my brother just texted me this morning saying, come on over for breakfast. Mm-hmm. He lives nearby. Yeah. But it's when we were growing up on weekend mornings, my mom is an athlete. So she would like go do a workout training and my dad would make breakfast for us and he would make cottage cheese pancakes.
Oh.
That are great. I think it sounds, some people have strong feelings about cottage cheese, maybe negative feelings, but it's really very good. It's very moist. And it's kind of like it's like more than like a bready pancake. It's more like a substantial crepe a little bit.
Ooh. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, it's great.
Texture wise, how does that work out with the cottage cheese? Does it like cook down enough that it's...
It kind of depends on what size of curd you use.
Okay.
I like them all.
Okay.
If you use a fine curd, it's more sort of integrated. If you use a fatter curd, you'll get little curds in there and it's kind of just like a tangy, chewy component. It's good.
Okay, fun. I like that. I like that. Yeah.
That sounds delicious. I think my comfort food, I think it was my mom would make it's the simple, it truly is just like tuna macaroni. So like boil, but make a bunch of macaroni, essentially like put some peas in it, tuna, and then like cream of mushroom, like put it all together. But it, when it's all together, you feel like it's good. She's creamy, she's thick. So simple, but truly I'm like, this is like, I've made it a couple times as an adult and I'm like, this is so stupid easy and delicious.
It does sound like my nightmare.
You don't like any of those.
I don't like any of the things you just said.
Least of all.
Macaroni. No, I was like, macaroni sounds great. You had me a macaroni, you lost me.
Everywhere else.
I like peas.
Yeah.
I could have peas.
My favorite veggie.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, maybe not now. As a kid, yeah. Now I'm like veggie, pretty neutral. We'll do most. But as a kid.
As a vegan, I don't want to rate vegetables. Yeah. I just embrace them all.
I was like, okay, veggie agnostic. Corn, on the other hand.
Must love kid, corn.
Oh.
Loose corn?
Oh, no.
Corn on the cob. Absolutely. Loose corn was not for me.
Where did that corn come from? I need to see.
Fly in every which
way. Oh, God.
You guys have any you want to share?
My aunt does a lot of baking, so she will like the little estate that her and my uncle live on, like she'll always make cakes for people's birthdays and it's like just the two of them. So when she cooks a dinner or like does batch cooking, she cooks enough to then go and deliver it to like families where like maybe like both parents are working and they don't have a lot of time, so she'll drop off extra dinners.
Stop.
So she did that a lot in the last 18 months.
Can she fly some here? Can she send it on over?
No, I've spent 5 minutes thinking about the Jolly Green Giant interacting with the Hulk and whatnot.
Oh, so, no.
But yes, how hot was my fact?
Shem, your fact is as hot as a pie coming out of the oven, freshly baked.
Mm. Shem, your fact is as hot as a fresh batch of my dad's vindaloo, which is both spicy and warm hot. And my mom famously eats it over pasta. A monster. It's delicious and versatile.
Wow. Shem, your fact is as hot as a hot, heated blanket. It's warm and it's cozy and it's nice, but it's hot under there.
Yeah, I gotta say, Shem, I think your fact is as hot as a sweet potato wrapped in foil, ooh, taken right off the coals. Yes. Mm. Ooh, you want it. It's so enticing, but it is quite hot. So be careful.
Oh my God. I love it. It's dangerous.
Good Lord.
It sounds like an open fire with coals.
I've been using the microwave.
With foil?
Oh no.
Not that hot. We can't get that hot. Burn the house down.
Dangerous hot.
Rach, yeah. Speaking of dangerous hot.
Thank you so much.
Heat us up, baby.
Honestly, I was going to say that segue if you didn't. I was like, I gotta say it for herself. Okay.
Learned from the best.
This one's also about a movie. It's about did we do this one last year? We'll see. It's about It's a Wonderful Life. A Christmas classic. Chloe's throwing their cords everywhere. Famously, I despise this movie just because it makes me so sad. So when I read this fact, I was like, haha. So It's a Wonderful Life, famously regarded as like one of the best films. It's like in every like top 100 list of movies to ever exist. But when it released, it was a box office failure. And the context behind it, I think, is really funny. Maybe not funny, but more like, that makes sense. So it came out the year after World War II ended. The main actor, oh God, I'm going to lose his name. John, is his name John?
Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy, thank you.
John Stewart? Let's be.
I literally was thinking John Stewart.
Older than you would have
been. Botox says a lot of good things. Oh my God. He had served 3 years in the military and came back. His agent had left him. He like.
The horrors of war.
The horrors of war. No, but like coming back to war and then being like, oh, I can't do the one thing that I really.
Dearest darling agent.
I lost my but he was like feeling the heat. The writer of the actual script had written it as a short story and couldn't get it sold as a short story anywhere. So then he sent it as a 21-page Christmas card to people. He like sent it out and somehow like a movie exec got a hold of it and bought the rights right away. However, it came out, like I said, the year after the war ended. So when people went to theaters to see a joyful Christmas movie and were brought with the crippling realities of life, and you know, the bits of depression that are scattered throughout the movie, they were like, this is awful. So it tanked so much that the studio was like, I don't need to own rights for this for that long. So that their rights, I think, only like weren't even renewed after a year. So it was able to be put onto cable television as a rerun so frequently because TV stations weren't having to like pay a lot of money for it. So it just ran so frequently and so often because it was such a failure that then people watched it more and were like, oh, actually I do like this movie. And then later it became
big for everyone.
People go to the movies to be happy and are very sad at home.
Yep.
This is right. This is fitting.
Yeah. They're like, ah, yes. Which is why I leave the room when my family watches it every year. My mom and my grandpa love to watch it and be sad, and I'm like, I refuse.
Send them back to war.
Send them back. But yeah, I didn't know the history of that, so I found it a little funny. more amusing than a little funny. Like, the more you know.
The more you know. To become a success, you gotta fail at the box office.
You know? Tell that to Herbie Fully Loaded too.
We'll tell that to the stars of Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah, Lindsay's not doing too well.
But yeah, I'm always fascinated by things that become successful, not because they're good, but they're just easily or readily available, mm-hmm. or that their rights have lapsed, or that they have just been in syndication, so that people have just grown up enduring them. So like, oh yeah, I guess this is like, this is a classic.
Rather than, well, like, we were actually inundated with this.
Yeah.
Thing, so yes. It's universal.
Yes.
I know everyone, so I love it.
Shem, do you know another good example of that? You don't have to if you don't. I'm just curious.
Oh, of things that are just popular because of rights management. Like 100 examples of all, like, almost at the tip of my brain.
No, it's okay. I asked in a pressure.
There's a pop star in the UK, and he has started to re-record like a lot of his songs to maintain that copyright, because he like did stuff in the 50s, so some of his stuff is like about to expire. So he doesn't want any of it to become just like free and readily available.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sneaky, but I love it. Chloe, you're quiet. What do you think about It's a Wonderful Life? Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it, but I've mostly been thinking about you were just like, you know, you were inundated with things and we're like, oh, I guess I like this. And then I was just like, yeah, Ellen DeGeneres. 11 or 12 years every day? That's too much lesbian. I'm Chloe. A lesbian.
Chloe.
I'm a lesbian every day, and that's too much.
It's too much of the same one.
The same one.
We can always use more lesbian.
Ew, Rachel. No.
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 All right, how hot? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say A Wonderful Life. Like, that's one of those things that's been on my year, or on my list every year around this time. I'm like, this is, obviously this is the year. And then I'll see you guys in a year, baby. Unwatched, I promise.
You can watch it in lots of places.
I know.
It's readily available.
But never a place my eyes are looking.
This whole time I've been picturing Jimmy Stewart on the front, like just writing letters, but not to a loved one, to his agent.
Yeah.
Please, I've had like big ideas and really exciting. I've also acquired new skills. I can like drive a tank if that's like any projects that involve that now. Like,
looking forward to feedback.
Oh, sad. Okay, how hot is that sad fact?
Your fact is as hot as a cup of Glühwein.
Thank you. Well, I haven't had that in many years.
I was just going to say it's as hot as a steaming cup of Glug, which is a Swedish mulled wine drink.
Great. Oh. Going in the same.
I went for the German genre. One. You've gone for the Swedish. Okay, what other mulled wines do we know?
This is a test.
Rachel, that fact was as hot as just a regular glass of water, but drunk at Christmas in Australia, where it's summer. Yes.
Too hot.
Hot, 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 baby.
Oh, I'm going to say it's as hot as just wine. When you drink enough wine, that you do become quite warm.
Yes. Yeah, you really do.
You become in warm. You feel a little spicy.
Not mold. It is not spice, but you are.
Yes. You are mold.
I'm a spicy wine
transformative
drinker.
Transformative.
Wait, I'm going to say that the next time I get tipsy and be like, I'm feeling a little mold. I'm feeling a little mold over here.
M-O-L-D?
Warm and spicy.
Oh my goodness, we have a treat, but first, a word from our friends. Thank you, friends, and now, a treat. Haley, next fact, please, from you. I don't know how to do a sentence, so words are coming at you.
I think if you give me a moment, I can piece them together. Okay, I
can't scramble
them.
Okay, listeners, there is a full post-it string situation going on behind her. Exactly. She's putting this together.
I'm beautiful minding.
Yes.
This is a fact that I've learned in recent months that I never knew, but is cool. It really is cool to me and feels kind of like sci-fi in real life. So I am currently breastfeeding a baby, not on this call.
I was like, oh my God, she's doing everything.
Give
her all the props.
Don't have any idea.
That's honestly, now the baby's solving riddles.
The baby is out of frame. But currently in my life,
I'm
breastfeeding a baby. And I have learned, I guess I always knew that it's like, oh yeah, sure, babies get nutrition that way. They get like antibodies that way, which is currently positive.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that milk is basically adaptive. So when an infant is eating, their saliva is giving feedback to the nursing person's body. And then the nursing person's body adapts the next batch of milk to be like customized to meet their current health needs. So to be like, okay, if this baby needs, you know, it's like vitamins or minerals or antibodies or whatever they need at this point, if they're like need a little bump of this one, a little more of this one, a little less that one, it customizes each new batch of milk for so it like the milk radically changes if the baby is like sick or something, but also just like, you know, every day tweaks a little bit just to adapt to where they're at.
Bodies are so cool.
Yeah.
Bodies are
crazy.
Damn.
That's amazing.
The female body knows no limits. Oh my God. I didn't know I had a Coca-Cola choose your flavor machine in my own body.
Your own nipple.
It's the freestyle machine.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the baby going. A little less salt on the neck.
I'm getting hints of antibodies.
Oh my God.
I also like the idea of a baby who's like, no, this is fine. This is what I ordered.
It's fine.
Not
it's
what
fine.
I want, but I get what I need.
Yeah.
You know, that zinc.
I don't know, zinc. Babies get zinc.
Important. For adults, at the least.
I don't know.
That is wild. Wow.
I've had like a couple of friends who like they consume dairy and then they found out like their baby is intolerant of dairy. So then they had to cut out like dairy from their diet because the baby was like, my feedback is I don't want dairy in the milk. So please stop. And my friends were like, well, there goes cheese, I guess, for a while. Like all these things they like. I was like, oh. Yeah. But then they come out like, and like it doesn't always last then in the baby. It's just like, I think maybe because they've had a bit of it like during the breastfeeding, it doesn't mean like they then won't.
Yeah,
able to eat dairy again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's truly so wild. I remember, this is probably too much information about my mom on this podcast. My mom has famously been on this podcast.
And in one of our shows.
Yeah. She loves to be around. I would not latch as a baby. And she was like convinced that we were going to have a bad bond, that like, she was like, oh my God, this is so sad. Like, I will never be able to like be close to my, we're like the same person and our best friend, so it's fine. But it is interesting to know like the medical side of it as well. Cause I know that was like a big thing in the 90s was like, if you don't breastfeed, your kids are going to hate you type of a deal.
Yeah. No, my mom has described the same thing or having the same like being, kind of having that in the conversation in the 90s of like, oh God, my kids are not going to something. It's not, it's like, it's, you're fine. They'll be fine. You'll all be fine.
They just don't get a special fancy order. I love that.
Yeah, that's.
I feel like they should be able to use that technology.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm sure, I guess, they have, like, milk banks and stuff like
yeah.
that. So they have, like, all sorts of stuff going on. I don't know. It's interesting. It's wild. Or, like, mm-hmm. folks with twins will have, like, oh, on one side in my feed, one sit on one side and one twin on the other side, I'm producing different.
Whoa.
Types of on either side to meet their individual needs.
I love this. Crazy. This is crazy, but it's honestly cool. Shem.
Oh, I'm wondering if it still works. Like if I kiss the nipple now. Yeah. Like my...
Your saliva doesn't have.
I don't know exactly why or how, but I did. I was talking to our pediatrician. About how our baby receives COVID antibodies. So I will continue nursing until she can be individually, personally vaccinated and no longer need antibodies for me. But the pediatrician was saying that she's like, oh yeah, like I'm still nursing my, you know, 1 or 2 year old later than I would be for this reason at this moment in time. But a lot of folks who had weaned have tried to go back and like see if they can re-nurse their older kids to provide them with antibodies before they're vaccine eligible. And apparently, unfortunately, it's not, they're not able to receive antibodies that way, they were finding.
I was thinking,
I don't know exactly why.
You know, the Grapes of Wrath. You know, the Grapes of Wrath when she like breastfeeds the dying man. I'm like, did he get special order?
I don't know. Maybe, I mean, probably if she breastfed him twice,
then yes.
He needed one session to get the feed.
Yeah.
I wish I wasn't old with a dry mouth. I have so much to tell you.
I know. I'm sorry I took us to this part. Sorry I took us down the Grapes of Wrath road. I'm just thinking of the, you know, LuLaRoe, the MLM, the women at LuLaRoe who were told to sell their breast milk to be able to buy more leggings. Like, that was like official advice that the tops of LuLaRoe were like, you need to have more inventory. Like, so and so has been selling their breast milk. You should do the same thing.
Wow.
It's a commodity. Or I guess like in many ways, probably like blood or other things like that, where it's like, oh, a lot of people, there's a donation infrastructure that people participate in, I think primarily, but also knowing that's like, at the end of the day, it's a resource that like people want and need. So if somebody will pay for it,
we can sell it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to say that fact is, as hot as when you're heating milk up and you got to put it on your little wrist and be like, oh, that's too hot. I can't put that in my baby's mouth. So it's hot. And then also for a good cause. I got there.
Wow. I'm going to talk and figure it out as I talk.
I love
that. That was as hot as there was a – no.
I need to know.
No. It's as hot as just like nipple rings.
Great.
Period. Yeah.
That's it. A good one. I like it.
You figured it out.
I figured it out.
Figured it out.
The baby's like, I don't like this nipple ring. That's my feedback.
Silver next time.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet they love it. I bet they play with it.
Oh my God. Yeah. Dangerous. I'm scared that they would be like,
they'd like it too much.
Yeah.
Oof. The old man's like, where's the ring?
Stop. That's like the tap to turn.
Okay, I gotta stop.
Oh, no. Imagine them being like.
That fact was as hot as the glorious, glorious time when I was a little baby and my mother listened to me. That's how hot that fact was. It's really bringing me back.
Aww. That fact is as hot as when you look out the window and you see it snowing and then you wrap yourself up in loads of layers to go outside and see like that beautiful first snow falling.
Oh, that's magical.
Snuggly and magical.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Wow. No transition. I got the next one.
Hell yeah.
Have we? Well, okay. Freud and cocaine. Ringing any bells? All right. So mine is quick and kind of just like a did you know? Freud had like a decade where he was touting like cocaine as like this miracle drug and like giving it to like his patients, his I believe his brother or brother-in-law or something, wrote a paper, published a paper called Uber Coca, which was like on coke, basically.
Uber Coca.
But the reason he thought that, which I was like, interesting, was
he was on cocaine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. And then he got addicted and he was like, all right, we're gonna stop being like, this is great, you guys. We're just gonna slowly back out of this one. But he thought it was a miracle drug because a German scientist or researcher was the first one to like isolate it in a like a lab. And then that scientist was giving it to German or I think it was German or European troops to keep them going and fight fatigue during war. And Freud was like, that does seem to work, huh?
Wow, that's what I want. Men with guns on cocaine.
Yeah, who is then giving psychological advice that we still listen to and like cite. Yeah, so I was just like, interesting. Everybody did coke, huh?
Huh. And Freud was given it to, he was recommending it for depression.
Like a miracle drug. Let's see what he exactly
probably for anything. Someone comes right in and they're like, oh my God, but can you imagine how, like, this is why I have never done, I mean, not the only reason, but I have never done cocaine because I'm already up one. Two, I have so much anxiety. I feel like it would just make me like hyper anxious about specific things. Like, I don't want that. I have too much nervous energy going.
You're describing it like you're on cocaine.
Yeah, I just sound.
It is. It's, I don't know if you guys have it out here in LA. We would have an annual fundraiser show called the Drug Cage Match, where there would be like four different teams performing improv, each team under the influence of a different substance. And they would have, you know, sort of like a guide and caretaker to make sure everybody was safe and cool under that substance. But that was one that everybody agreed every year was like, no cocaine.
Nobody wants a cocaine.
It's not happening.
I was like, that would be the worst slacker.
Like the coke like team is just one person.
Yes.
Everyone's just playing finance bros. That's it.
That was too controversial for East Being New York. So we had Jews versus Christians.
I like this, this little anecdote. Freud stopped advocating cocaine's medical benefits, but continued to use the drug intermittently for migraines, nasal inflammation, and depression. So he was using it for a lot.
I like that he's famously good for nasal.
Right. He prescribed it to his friend to help wean him off of his morphine addiction. He was like, let me give you something else. Try this one. So yeah, truly, he said, his friend instead developed a cocaine addiction.
Yeah.
Like now, Freud was just
could have seen that.
Right?
Like that it's way.
He's so like, no. You're not addicted. You just want to fuck your mom. That's Freud's whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, yeah. I know that one. I am going to school for this. Mm-hmm. Hopefully. Anyways. I took us to a weird path. I honestly think like I was reading about how they're using mushrooms right now for depression. They also have like ketamine treatments for people with both depression and anxiety. And so while I'm like laughing at that, like, oh well, Freud, you thought this, but I'm like, I don't know if you can ethically do this research, but I'm like, I guess you gotta test it out.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Scary.
It's just hard to get free trade cocaine.
I only use organic cocaine.
Stop. Oh, scary. Chloe, that fact is as hot as if I ever did cocaine.
She's already back on it. What happens to you?
No, you just my little I was gonna say my little dancing feet, how fast I would be like tap dancing down the hall. You know in Buffy when they like dance to the point of like combusting?
Yeah.
That's how hot it would be. I would just dance till I caught on fire.
Yes, yes.
Oh, spooky. Dangerous.
Chloe, that fact was as hot as if I were a therapist. If you can just recommend.
Period.
What? Yeah. Now I can't do it ever. I'll just talk to myself. This counts. That's how hot your fact was.
Terrifying.
Oh, shit.
Chloe, your fact is as hot as all the heart palpitations you would get on cocaine.
Oh, that is hot.
That's hot.
It's hot. Ooh, scary. And then you're scared and your heart's beating even faster because you're scared. Oh, God.
I find that fact to be as hot as that the tin roof that the hot that the cat was on.
Yeah.
I feel like something going on in those. It feels like a cookie atmosphere with Marlon Brando. There's stuff.
Yeah.
There was something on that
roof. Yeah.
Something a little. Something called cocaine, Lindsay.
Okay, no segue, just no aggressive, aggressive name.
Just like it.
Louder.
So mine, similar to Chloe's, is a little, really like a little snippet. The song "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time" was written by two Swedish writers, and they thought "hit" was a new word, like a new slang word for cool. So it was meant to be "call me baby one more time." So it was like they wanted the ex-boyfriend to call one more time. And originally it was meant to be for TLC, but they rejected it because they were like, "Hit me, baby." Like, no, no. Oh,
they were smart about it.
They were smart about it. And Britney's label was like, "We love it. Yeah." So I just thought that was interesting because I didn't know that. And it was just a language misunderstanding.
I guess in my head I had assumed like "Hit me, baby" was like "hit me up."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
I wasn't imagining someone slapping Britney.
One of the articles I read got very into the, well, it could have been this and this. And I was like, all right, we get it. But
I do feel like that is the message that comes through in the song, is the communication message. But as, I don't know if you guys have this experience, as like kids listening to the song and then everybody doing little dances, you know, like it would always be like a slap or like a hit. Or,
yes.
You know, even in her choreo.
In hers, yeah.
She does that. So that muddies the waters.
It does, really.
That's confusing messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Britney.
I wonder how those two men feel about the Free Britney movement.
Well, I mean, they also wrote the song.
They're fine. They wanted to be free.
I think they probably wanted to be free. Like they also wrote "I Want It That Way." These are very successful pop writers. So I feel
they,
like,
I mean, yeah, they have no idea about the Free Britney movement.
They're just in a constant state of yearning.
In Sweden, it was "I Want It This Way," and they're like furious.
I also have now concocted a reality where "Call Me Maybe" is like the next iteration of like, call they're still not over this ex. Like, call me, hits me maybe.
Hits me maybe one more time.
I don't know.
No pressure, maybe no I've pressure. Been before. Now. Trying to meet you where you're at.
Consent.
I'm cool, I'm not hitting you.
Hits me, no pressure.
Or whatever if you want.
Yeah.
You could, I think, you'd very easily do all of those, like from "Call Me" by Blondie all the way
into
the Bond Age. Film someone on the voicemail machine, like getting all those messages back to back to back to back.
Well, you'll be getting that script soon. You watch your email.
The baby's like, "I don't like this one."
What's in this one?
And where's the breast milk?
Why is your baby back?
I'm so sorry. I have
notes. Yeah.
All game moves. No base reality.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I made your baby Liza Minnelli.
I mean, she already kind of is. She lives in a household where the only two people she spends all her time with are like love languages bits. So she's tangentially involved in all sorts of little absurd bit narratives that she has no idea about.
I love her.
She's never heard either of your real voices.
She does know. It is very funny if we're like holding a like stuffed animal or something and trying to like make a funny voice as though that creature is talking to her. She's very much, she'll like look at us like,
I know. Yeah. You're not fooling anyone, baby.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Sorry. We're just trying to razzle dazzle you out of here. Yeah. It's not kidding.
You want to razzle dazzle me? Show me the money.
She's like, I've got no chum down.
Do you look at each other and go, wow, tough crowd?
This feels true to life. Okay.
Okay. Got it. Wow. Mm-hmm. I love it. See, I can't wait to have a baby for the bits.
It's fun. It's like, I don't know if you have pets. I see there's a cat there. So somebody has a cat.
I got a cat.
It's an evolution of, mm-hmm. you know, I presume you got bits with your cat. The rich, well-realized inner world of the cats that you've built out. I think it's a natural sort of cat leap.
I love that.
Yeah.
Lindsay, that fact is as hot. Okay, as hot as I, like my cheeks were in embarrassment. I was probably like 7 or 8. I was alone in my room dancing to Britney Spears' Stronger. And I would set my office chair up so that if I put one foot on the top of it, if I was like standing on it, and I put one foot on the top of it and like pushed it down, it would fall and tilt and hit my desk, so it'd make like a little ramp so that I could dramatically, when Stronger came on, I could hit it down and be like, Stronger. And then my mom walked in on me and I was like, I'm having a long time.
I love that you're 8 and have an office chair. That's what I'm taking away from this. Yeah. I'm just like, and my briefcase was to the side and I would use that in the finale.
I have a little desk.
It's really cute.
My beeper was going crazy.
Yeah. The lines of cocaine I was doing, my God. I was a little businesswoman. Yeah, is that hot?
That's hot. Oh, well.
Lindz, your fact is as hot as Pink's first studio album, Misunderstood, with a Z.
That's hot.
That's hot.
Just the song. Uh-oh. I think that's the album. It's not the album. As hot as that first album.
It's as hot as if she renamed her album.
Was that the one with Let's Get This Party Started on it?
Yes. Yes.
Coming out.
Ooh, we had on CD.
Get This Party Started.
Wow.
It has so many hits.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, a little bonus fact, my little kid brain was like, I thought she was saying I'm coming out or like whatever, like I'm coming to get this party started. What she's saying is I'm coming up on drugs. The party's starting.
Oh, I thought she said I'm coming out.
I thought so too. Mm-hmm. Coming up.
Oh. So you better get this party started.
When I the drugs are kicking in, boys.
Because I just saw Freud.
See, I also was embarrassed to sing it when I was little because I was like, people are going to think I'm gay. Plot twist, I am.
Plot twist. People are going to think I'm gay, and I don't want them to know that for a little bit longer.
Approximately 20 more years.
Ah, Pink. Lindsay, your fact was as hot as... That's how hot your fact
is.
Yeah.
Ta ta ta.
That's all we need.
I was also thinking of that song. Yeah. Yeah, it's as hot as like when you're at like a party or a, like wedding or something, and it's kind of like we've all been dancing a lot. Mm-hmm. People are maybe taking a water break, and then that song when Toxic by Britney Spears comes on, and everyone's like. And just floods the dance floor.
Yes.
It's so
yes.
goes nuts.
Oh yes.
Truly, truly great late in the night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Revive everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many iconic like the It's Britney Bitch. Any Britney intro.
Oh my god. It's like a Pavlovian dance response.
Like I was just eating cake and now I'm on the dance floor. What happened?
Pavlovian dance response is the name of my first song. Yes. The songs were all penned by those two Swedish guys.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that was good.
I just made a note to myself in my phone because my two of my friends just got engaged. I was like, make sure Toxic is on the boys' wedding playlist.
I think that's a very redundant note.
I know. Yeah. You gotta make sure.
I hope someone's walked down the aisle to it. Just like.
Whoa,
just like body rolls down the aisle. Yeah.
Well, don't think about what the words mean. Just enjoy it.
Look, I know I'm your father, but I want a body roll. Let me be.
Dad.
Dad.
All right. Well, I don't have a dad, so I'll change the subject. Haley, we've come to the end of the podcast, but not quite the end. We cannot wrap without you, please, picking the hottest fact of the app. We're going to recap. And again, as a reminder, you can absolutely pick your own. It's happened before. Mm-hmm. It will inevitably happen again.
Honestly, I'm going to be thinking about your fact.
Yeah.
Yes.
Today's baby.
We'll never tell you what to do, but you know.
You got a good one there.
You got a good one.
Great. Lagan, vegan food, blah, 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 blah. Not your amazing baby food.
It's a Wonderful Life is not, in fact, wonderful and is not as wonderful as the breast milk.
Freud did cocaine while he was talking about mothers who provide breast milk.
Mm-hmm. Call me baby one more time, but baby gonna be giving you feedback.
Oh! Ooh, I mean, it seems like there's a consensus in the room, and it seems very aligned with my feeling, which is that the fact I enjoyed was the first one about the Indian food. I thought it was cool, and it was giving me a story.
Mm-hmm.
It
gave a
shocking twist.
Yes.
9/11 reveal, which is kind of hot. It's so much in the conversation. It's hard to really, truly catch people off guard with that one, but you got us. And then you also had the good sense to keep moving. You know, we didn't tell. I found that one really interesting. Love the story. And now I really want to see that movie.
I mean, thank you so much. 9/11 reveal is my favorite dance move.
Sadly, 9/11 movie is, they wouldn't let me keep that track on the app.
Okay. Well, number one, people are going to want to hear the album. Where can they find you? Where can they find, you know, all of the content, obviously including the album?
Well, as a primarily live performer, I have so much content. I have so much what would be classified in this day and age as content. I just moved to New York, so I'm going to start doing some shows in New York.
Yes.
I'll be, and then I also have a project that I'll be releasing online in early 2022. So I think for the info on any of those projects, probably just follow me on my incredibly inactive Instagram. But when I'm doing shows, I post it there.
Okay, yeah.
Beautiful.
Just Haley Upworth. And this project will be linked on that.
Yeah, we'll put her links down below.
Right.
Something. Below something.
You friggin' bet we will. And as always, we are Trash Comedy. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. You can call us. You can email us. We're part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. Did I just lose sound?
Nope. You're in. Just put your face in the mic.
Oh, no. My headphones lost sound. This is really trippy. Thank you so much, Haley. Yeah.
We're gonna start having live shows in January, so keep an eye out for those. Thank you so much.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast.